Well, praise the Lord for being able to be here. And y'all having enough confidence in me to come over here and preach this morning. It's always good to come in here and see that y'all still trying to keep on going and how it looks nice and neat in here, just two or three, couple of people around. That's a blessing. So many doors are closed. But what to me is sadder than the doors being closed is so many buildings that are open that are not having church this morning. I could get into that and deal with that the rest of the day. Brother Bill, you talking about Facebook. Facebook's a good thing, but when I got on Facebook the other day and looked at a church and they were dancing in the church, I wasn't too impressed with that. And it ain't too far from where we at. It's in Danville, Virginia. So, I got a problem with that. My son was talking about last night, remember he had met the church that he's a member of. They done got the spotlights back in there and said it sounded like a rock band, and they asked it sounded like you need to get out of that. Sad thing is, I don't know where to recommend him to go. Churches is getting few and far between that believe the book and are standing on the book. And it is discouraging in the days that we live in, but in another way it's encouraging because we're getting closer and closer to Christ coming. And we realize that we shouldn't be discouraged because he even said, would he find faith on this earth when he comes back? And it's getting closer and closer and closer to that day. Take your Bibles today and open up to 2 Corinthians. And I've got an outline on this message today, but I'm not planning on using the outline. I'm going to just go wherever the Lord leads in it because it's something here that's encouraging to me and I hope will be an encouragement to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we'll read down through verse 11, and we'll go back and try to comment and make some comments about what's being said here. 2 Corinthians 5, beginning with verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who hath given us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your own consciences. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we just thank you so much for your word. Lord, we thank you for what we've learned over the years, and things that we know about you, things that we have seen you do. Lord, things that we know is to be the truth. Lord, I pray you just be with us in this message that we might be able to encourage one another and to be able to move forward in the days to come and do those things which you've called us and led us to do now. I ask in Christ's name for his sake. Amen. It seems like that every day we begin to see things that are coming our way that are completely against us, or against God, against His people. We were talking a little bit about the coronavirus. Well, my daughter-in-law came in here the other day, and she works in a nursing home. She's an RN. And she was all upset about all the procedures they're having to do, and I think it's a fabricated pandemic of fear that our government is trying to put on us and everything about this thing. And I'm not saying it's not dangerous, it is, but they're making it out to be more than it is. We as Christians know that if we get the flu or we get some sickness like that, it could take us out. But a lot of things can take us out. That red Bonneville down the road like it took me out this morning. They come up to a stop sign, it'll start to pull out right in front of me, and I'm running 65 miles an hour, and I'm going to tell you, that wouldn't have been good. I don't know what they're thinking about. They can't see a white car, I reckon. But anything can take us out. We talked about falling. We talked about people in the nursing home falling. We can fall and get hurt. I'm 65 this month. I can't do the things I used to do. But why would we worry about those things that could happen that may not happen? I think that most of the time when I worry about stuff, I worry about something that could happen, that hasn't happened. Marilyn knows that I'm the world's worst to be aggravated about stuff and this and that and the other. We've been in the ministry, and I remember just different milestones in the ministry that we've had. I worked for the Power Company 21 years. That day that I stepped out by faith and said, I'm going to be a missionary, and I'm going to go out here and get my support, and I'm going to South America, and I don't understand anything about speaking the Spanish language. That was a fearful day because I had a good job. Well, 20 years has passed, and I had to start. God has been faithful to take care of me. He will take care of us until we are home. The problem is living in this flesh and having to put up with the things that go on with it is a problem. And the scripture here today is talking about, in the beginning here it says, for we groan, for we know. There's something we know. And what is it when you know? That's knowledge that you have, something that you know about. That if our earthly house, and it's not talking about this church house or a house we live in, it's talking about this body we live in. If our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, see, this is what we're talking about. The coronavirus can take us out. A fall can take us out. Anything can take us out. A wreck, whatever it might be. If that takes us out and this body is dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. This flesh will get a new body. Brother Bill, you having to walk with that cane, you don't feel too good sometimes. Would you want to take your body to heaven with you? You don't want to take that with you? I hurt too much. I don't want this thing. I don't want this thing I'm walking around in with me. I'm going to get rid of it, get shed of it. And if I figured I had to spend eternity with all the pain that I have now, that wouldn't be a whole lot of fun. I wouldn't like that. I got into bed last night. I said, Mary Helen, I'm hurting. I said, where? Everywhere. Pick it. I'm hurting. That's how it is. It's something to do about this thing they talk about, golden age. That's a lie. It's not golden age. It's the age of hurting. Can't do what you can do. We've got two men in our church that they got run over by a tractor after they were 65 years old. You know why? Because I got it in my head I'm 20. I come home one day and this young lady was way up stretched out on a ladder like here painting something on the top rung of a ladder. We live in the woods. She could have hollered till doomsday and nobody would have heard her. I said, get off of that ladder now. She said, I need that little spot painted. I said, no, you don't. It ain't never got painted. We need to get over there and paint that one day, but we're older than we were. She shouldn't have done that if she was 20. But she was approaching 60 when she pulled that one. We're not as young as we were. And those two men that got run over by that tractor are like me. They've been messing with equipment ever since they were children. And you still think you can do what you could do where you ain't near as agile as you was when you were younger. The body is dissolving. Verse 2. For in this we groan. I know about them groanings. Mary, I can tell you about that too. So when that rascal gets to the bed, he's like, oh, what's going on here? And that's how I feel sometimes. Desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. Hey, I know I'm going to get it one day. But when? None of us want to die. But everybody's taking the medicine, everything they can to stay here. But I'll tell you one thing. Once we get on the other side, we ain't going to want to come back. My missions director, Jerry Mullendor, we don't have a mission director now. I'm right out of local church. But my former mission director, he died about 2 years ago, almost four now, three. He died in 16, figured that one out. Jerry looked like the picture of health. He was 69 years old. He went in the hospital for a little bit of surgery. He had cancer in a kidney. They were going to take that kidney out and I would be done with it. He'd be okay. He died of septic shock in the hospital. And we were talking about, and I still think that the hospital caused that through some negligence of what they did. And I was talking with some of the family. I said, why didn't y'all pursue that? Well, we couldn't bring Jerry back, and we didn't want to go through all the pain and agony of having to deal with it. I said, I'll tell you another thing. If you'd have brought Jerry back, he probably whipped all of you, too. But you mean tell me I'm in glory and you bring me back? Oh, no, that ain't going to work. And once we ever get there, we're not going to want to come back. But we groan, earnestly desire to be clothed with our house, which is from heaven. If so, being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For that this tabernacle, we do groan, being burdened, not that we be unclothed, but clothed upon with that mortality might be swallowed up with of life. This clothing that we have is the clothing of the Holy Spirit living within our hearts. Because if we stand before God without the Holy Spirit, without Christ being in us, we will be standing there naked and we will be in a whole lot of trouble. And we're not going to want what's coming our way because we're not going to glory unless we're saved. So many people, I sat in that class thing we had about diabetic education class, and it's a group class, there's 20 or 30 people in there, and I'm probably not going back to it. I may, but the only reason I'm going to go back in there is to try to be a witness because most of those people in there, I hate to say it, my son has been sick and he went with me and I asked him when we got out of there, I said, how many people in there, what do you think of the people in that room in there? He said, I think everybody in there had their foot on a banana peel and the other in the graveyard except the ones that were putting on the class and you and one other man. Every last one of them, and they looked like they're about to drop off into the graveyard. They really did. They looked rough. A lot of them a lot younger than I am. But they're trusting in this little vial of medicine to take care of them. And I brought up in there to start with. I told them. I said, y'all, I know my doctor. She says she's saved. May or may not be. But I brought up the thing. I said, look, this medicine and this class we got, it probably can help us, but our ultimate healer is Jesus Christ. This medicine is not going to get it. Because I eat right and then my blood sugar is too high. I eat wrong, it's low like it's supposed to be. So I don't understand that. You can't explain that to me. And there are folks in there they're going to drop off into hell because they trusted in what man can do. They're not trusting a Savior. This life that we have is for a minute anyway. It's just a vapor that we have. Marilyn and I, this June, will be 45 years married. I thought we got married last week sometime. That's kind of how it felt. And as a child, I remember walking my first step, following my shadow. I remember all that stuff. 65 years went by real fast. Didn't take long. So life here is so short that we better be preparing to be on the other side. Because we ain't going to be here much longer. I think all of a sudden you ain't too far apart in age. Ain't going to be a whole lot longer. We all going to be gone. Ain't going to be long. We need to pray that somebody take over this church and be able to carry on with what's going on. Because God didn't put this building here just to look at it. That ain't what it's here for. I don't know what the answer is. I can't say. God does. He knows. He's got a reason. I thank God just hadn't shut the door. I thank God is still here. Because I'm telling you, I bet ain't nobody in here felt like being here today. You could go home and say, I'm going to have devotions at the house today. And shut the door. But I thank God you're still here. He that hath wrought us for the self-same thing is God, who hath given us the earnest of the Spirit. You know, when you go out there and you buy a car, they want to talk about a down payment. I don't want to lose my down payment. So when you put that down payment down, that means that I'm going to faithfully make the payments on that automobile until it's paid for. And that gives the people that you borrowing money from some security that you could do what you said you could do. Well, the Holy Spirit is that earnest that God has given us. That's earnest money. I have given you the Holy Spirit to dwell in your soul, and you take care of, and let him take care of you, and you don't worry about what man might bring. That's easier said than done. When finances are not where it needs to be, and I want to see mission work done, and the finances ain't there to do it, that bothers me. But it don't bother me near as much as it used to. Because you know what? God's got a problem. I ain't got one. I'll do what he allows me to do with what he's given me to do with. And the rest of it, I'm leaving up to him. We need a van right now in South America. The van we need don't cost about $10,000. That's a small thing to maybe 10 churches. That ain't hard to come by. I believe we figured out 20 churches, $500. That's we got a van. That's just that easy. But we can't get a bunch of Baptists to get together to do nothing anymore. They want to fight and fuss and have a fit with one another. They don't want to work together. That's just how that is. Well, I don't like that preacher over there. I don't like that church. I don't care about what you like. You need to get the gospel out. God didn't call us to fight and fuss and have a fit with everybody, but that's about what we do. But he's given us that earnest of the down payment of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, in this flesh, we're absent from the Lord. We're not with the Lord today. We're in this flesh, living in this world. That's where we're at. We walk by faith. I haven't seen God, but I have felt him. I felt the Holy Spirit dwelling in my soul. Son, don't do that. Do this. If you've been born again very long, you know that when you're heading in the wrong direction, he's like, hold it. That ain't the way you need to do this. You need to go over here and do this. Walk by faith, not by sight. We're confident. We can be confident. I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body than to be present with the Lord. Hey, we all would love to be in glory today, right? Hallelujah. From what I've heard about that place, this place here don't compare. I don't care how rich a place you get to, how fancy the hotel is, how fancy the airline is you fly on to wherever you're going to this exotic place. Somebody asked me the other day, if you got a chance to go on a vacation, where you want to go? I said, to the house. I don't like this world. The things that this world offers, I don't care too much about. I like living in the woods, and I get out there and I like to see them trees waving at me like that. I can sit there and watch trees wave at me all day. So, man, you crazy. No. When I get out there in this world, now let's go ahead and tell you. Our son, Marin, 42 years old. He had chest pains here a little over a week ago. We thought he was having a heart attack. Took him to the doctor. The doctor did blood tests and EKG and said, you had a heart attack, bud. Sent him home, said, had tests scheduled for him. Said, if he has any problem, take him to ER. Okay. Well, we took him to the ER that night because he had problems. I was about to have a heart attack when I got in the ER. When that doctor come in there and had that thing like a logging chain around his neck and them big hoop earrings in his ear, I was getting ready to have a heart attack. I told my pastor, I said, I ain't doing well with this doctor. He said, love him to death. I said, I know exactly how to do it. I said, I get my hand in that chain and twist it, I can love him to death. He said, brother, you know that ain't right. I said, I know it ain't right, but I sure would like to. A doctor with a chain around his neck and hoop earrings in his ear, and that's a professional that's going to work on me? I don't know about all that. But this is what we've got in this world now. We've got in this world. Anyway, to tell you about Marion, they did all kind of tests, said he didn't have a heart problem, all this kind of stuff. Sent him back home. He's got an appointment Tuesday. And we can see what the doctor's got to say, because he's a truck driver and being grounded and can't drive nothing, that ain't good. Daddy's got to drive him around. I said, son, this don't look right. I'm driving you around. You're supposed to be driving me around. I like that side over there better for some reason. But we live in a world that half the time it seems like they don't even know what's going on. I asked Marin, I said, are you laying up there with all that EKG stuff on you, hurting your chest, was it bothering you? He said, no, I'm getting ready to go to the house. I figured, since y'all leave y'all here, y'all fight this junk. That's the difference between somebody that's saved and somebody that's lost. You're supposed to be all upset. I'm 42 years old. I had a heart attack. Well, God might be going to let me go home early. You know, that's kind of how it does with us. But the thing is, nobody knows what's going on in our bodies but God does. These doctors can be a help, but I'm going to tell you, they don't know everything what's going on. Back to verse 8 again. We are come, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. God did not call us to get saved and sit down and do nothing. He called us to labor and work for him. Our job is to get as many in as we possibly can get in. Well, I can't be a witness. I can't preach. I can't do this. Well, you can be a witness if you want to. And sometimes I'm not the witness I ought to be. But just like I struck up a conversation in Walmart yesterday, I think it was. I've got this bad thing of saying this. People say, how you doing? I said, I think I might make it a couple more days. Well, I hope you'd make it longer than that. I said, I ain't going to make it a couple more seconds unless the Lord's willing to let me live a little bit longer. I said, I sure can't tell him what to do. And this lady in there, she must have been in her 80s. I think she liked my white hair because she started waking her eyes at me and I wasn't impressed. And she said, I bet you've tried to tell God what to do before. I said, no, ma'am, I ain't never tried that. And I said, if you have, something's wrong with you. So many people that have lived their life and they're up there getting ready to cross over, 70, 80, 90 years old, and don't even know who the Savior is. Brother Noah, and y'all know him, he went down to Baptist here a month or so ago, and he got a good bill of health. The doctor said, you're in good shape for a man almost 89 years old. His birthday is this month, mine and his birthday is the same month. And he said, I give God all the glory. I give the Lord all the glory for me having the health I've got at my age. The doctor said, what's that doctor's name? Who is Dr. Lord? He looked at her like she's being funny. She didn't have no idea who the Lord was, more or less who his son is. Of course, Noah gave her a good witness. But we've got people that don't even know who God is. And we used to say, well, that's these foreign doctors that's come in here. That's somebody that just foreign and hadn't been raised in it. We got people right here in Danville, Virginia that's up to 70, 80 years old, don't even know who God is. Why? I don't understand. Either they're hard-headed or we ain't doing our job. I don't know what it is. I think it's a little bit of both. But we labor that where the present hour we be accepted of him. This next verse right down here bothers me, because I'm not going to like this. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And say, well, praise God, I'm saved. I ain't got to worry about judgment. Mind now, you ain't got to worry about judging for salvation. But you do have to worry about judging for works. If God called me to do something, and I bowed up and said, I'm not going to do it, he going to deal with that at the judgment seat of Christ. He ain't taking my salvation. That's settled at Calvary. He paid for that. That's free. Brother Bill asked me about them young preachers, because I'd said something about I was going to bring one of them real young preachers' boys over here with me. They made a comment to our pastor and said, they didn't say it to me, because they said to me I'd have had an answer for it. We don't feel like we're ready. Well, my answer is, well, are you called? Because if you called, you need to be ready. I might not be the best preacher in the world, and I might not present the Word of God like I ought to, but I try my best to preach the Word of God. I have the desire to preach, and I want to get it done. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to the hath done, whether it be good or bad. I want to go to heaven, but you know what? I want to get past that judgment seat. It ain't going to last forever, but I got a feeling it ain't going to be good. Another portion in Corinthians that talks about tried so as by fire. That fire thing. God might have dangled us out over hell and said, see, that's where I could drop you off, but I'm not going to do it. But I could. That bothers me a little bit. I know he's not going to drop me off in hell, but he'll ought to show it to me and show me how it could have been. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, the terror of the Lord. You're talking about his eyes that we can't look upon him. The sun was pretty bright this morning. Mary Helen had the visor down on the car on that side, and I pulled up to a place that I couldn't really see. I said, you need to move that visor because I can see what I'm doing. She did, and then I could see whether there was traffic coming or not, and we moved on. But you look directly in that sun, that's rough on your eyes. And when Christ looks at you, he's going to be glaring with eyes like that that you can't look at, and you sure can't tell him, I didn't do it. Yeah, I did. I got to admit, I did do that. The judgment seat of Christ is not going to be easy. Folks think it is, but one thing I know about it, it ain't going to last too long. And then it'll be over. And then we'll be in eternity. Praise God for that. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And I'm not thinking that we need to just persuade lost people. We need to persuade Christians to do what they need to do. We older ones need to be an encouragement to the young people, because it ain't easy on young people. They got all kind of junk going on in churches for young people right now that I don't like. Persuade men, but we made manifest unto God, and I trust also made manifest to your own conscience. That's the message today. But are we being the influence that we need to be? Many times I feel I fall short. And I've seen things go on in churches. And I've seen young men get discouraged because of older men being the way they were. It's one thing to preach the gospel, but it's another thing to preach it in a mean, ugly way. And I've seen that happen. And I think of one man as I stand here, one young man, I know he got discouraged by some of that. And guess what? He's one of them churches that's doing the dancing this morning. And I know a lot of that is rebellion on his part. But on the other side, it's rebellion against how some of them preachers treated him, because some of them treated me the same way. And we don't have an excuse to do wrong just because somebody treated you wrong. But I see a whole lot of them falling by the wayside because of the way they were treated by those that were supposed to be their mentor. And I see a whole world out there that's lost. Within the United States, within other countries. And I praise God for Florentino, the way he does things in Paraguay, because they had church this morning probably about 2 hours, 3 hours ahead of us. And I wonder if we were faced with some of the things he's faced with, would we take the stand we do? Because he is predominantly Catholic down there. And he will preach just as hard as nails to Catholic people, but they know he loves them. When Mary Helen and I were down there this last time, they loved to have Mary Helen cook something for them. And nothing real fancy, because you don't even have the stuff to cook with sometime out there in the bush like that you need to have it right. But you cook chicken and rice one day, and you cook potato salad one day, and you did potato pancakes one day, didn't you? I don't know what else you cook, but they love to have her cook. And we were sitting to the table eating one night, and I didn't hear it. Florence said, I heard a gunshot. And a man down the road that was one of his friends got murdered for his yearly salary is what he did. It was sugarcane cutting time. And he'd paid off all the employees, and he had about $2,500 that would have been his yearly money that he'd made off the whole sugarcane crop. God killed him for it. But the sad thing is, that man was a Catholic, he went to hell. And Florentino was very sad. He's my friend. He loves me. I love him. But he tells them Catholics how it is. And I took some booklets down there, and on the front of it says, Maria, Mary. And Catholics, when they see a book like that, they can eat that up because they think you're talking about Mary, and you are. But it gives a biblical point of view as who Mary was. And she was the virgin that bore Jesus Christ, and that's what's in that book about all that. And he passed a whole lot about at that man's funeral. And I'm talking about dignitaries from big places came to that man's funeral, because he was fairly prominent in that little town where he was from. But men, women, boys, and girls are dying and going to hell, and we're fighting among ourselves. And I don't know why we got to do it, but we do. Love y'all. Pray that everything goes well. Praying for the preacher. And praying that God can direct y'all to know what to do to get this place sealed up again. If we can be a help to you, we want to do it. Brother Bill, close us out with prayer, please, sir.
Amen.